Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When I think about Thomas, I think about how most of us go through moments in life where we ourselves are Thomas as well. If we look at Thomas, Thomas was a man who questioned a lot. He was inquisitive. He was a man who was pessimistic. He was a man who was a realist. And every time, especially when we look at the episode when Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room, he talks to them about how he is going to the Father and how he's going to prepare a place for them, and how the disciples will know the way. And Thomas, inquisitive as he is, he asked the question, "Well, we don't know the way. Well, what do you mean, Jesus? You know, what is the way?" And then there, Jesus answers him by saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And this is how Thomas always engaged with Jesus. He questioned a lot. He would hear something. And some of us, at times, we question a lot. And at times, we go through moments where we're pessimistic. Perhaps we've heard a lot of people say many things. They've made many promises to us, and yet they've failed to keep them. And yet, we've grown up to realize that not everybody keeps their word. And so when somebody says something or promises us something, we're like, "Oh, we'll see if you're going to live up to what you say." Right? And this is how Thomas was. And if you look at his world, he's grown up to see many people who claim to be Messiah. Some of them have failed. And he looks at Jesus, and Jesus is making all these pronouncements, and he sees all the miracles that Jesus is saying. And yet, even though he's inquisitive and he questions Jesus, he's somewhat loyal to him too, follows just to see whether Jesus really is the Messiah. And the profound moment that transformed Thomas was when, after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to the rest of the disciples and Thomas was not there. And the disciples, after he arrived, Thomas, he arrived, the disciples tell him, "We saw Jesus. He's risen from the dead." And then Thomas tells them, "Well, I'll believe when I see him." You know? And sometimes us modern people, believing is seeing. And Thomas is, as a skeptic, really, he embodies the scientific method of skepticism. He embodies that well. You know, with science, the scientist has to be skeptical, and he can't assume anything when he's about to conduct an experiment. He has different theories as to how he wants to approach his study. He comes up with all these theories. It's like, a lot of things can go this way, that way. So he does an experiment, he tests those theories, and then he chooses the best theory. But he starts from a place of skepticism. And then as he does his experiment, he questions, he tests what theory best aligns and explains what's happening. And then he chooses that best theory. And for Thomas, really, he's just looking at Jesus, analyzing, seeing everything, looking at the miracles, trying to understand whether Jesus is the Messiah. And the way John really wrote his book, really, he wanted to emphasize one point, that Jesus is the Messiah. And there are many instances where John records instances where Jesus confronts the Jews, and the Jews are always there to question him. And the previous chapter, Jesus made a scandalous claim that he and the Father are one. And so that's why he was chased out of Jerusalem. And then he goes to this place where he receives the news that Lazarus is dead. And so in view of the fact that the Jews have a kill order on Jesus, he receives this news that Lazarus is dead. And Lazarus, the scripture says that Lazarus is the man whom Jesus loved. He really loved this man. And yet, when he receives the news, he chooses to stay 2 more days. When we look at the story from the perspective of his sisters, their brother is dead. They're waiting on Jesus to come because Jesus has been healing people. And they know that he can really heal Lazarus. They're waiting on Jesus to come. And some of us in our lives, there are moments when we wait on God to do something in our lives, to move profoundly, to save us, to deliver us from something, step into somebody's life, somebody who we care about, so they can really see that Jesus is the one who they desperately need. And we're waiting. And the sisters are waiting for Jesus. And sometimes we think that God should conform to our schedule, right? The sisters are waiting, like, he should be arriving soon. He should be arriving soon. He must arrive soon because Lazarus is going to die if he doesn't. And they wait. Meanwhile, Jesus, he waits for 2 more days, doesn't show up on time. And then Jesus then tells his disciples, "Well, let's go back now to Lazarus' house because he's asleep." But they're like, "Oh, if he's asleep, he's going to get well, right?" But then Jesus plainly breaks the news to them. He's like, "No, he's dead." Right? And then Thomas, the inquisitive person who's very pessimistic and skeptical, "Jesus, I don't think it's a good idea that we should go back." And the city, the town that Lazarus was in, was just 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the place where Jesus was chased by the Jews. And so he's really near Jerusalem. And Thomas is like, if we go back there, we're going to die. They're going to stone us. It's not a good idea that we should go back there. And yet Jesus insists. He's like, no, we need to go back. And then Thomas is like, well, guys, let's follow Jesus because we're going to die anyways. Right? That's his attitude. And when we think about Thomas, I think about how also in our lives too, we read the promises of God in Scripture, how God has made promises to us. Maybe he has made a promise to you in your dreams, and how God says that he was going to take care of us, how God says his presence will be always with us. And at times we go through moments in lives when we feel that we feel as though God is not present, as though we're alone. And so we begin to worry when we face certain tribulations, trials, and sufferings, and we start to worry and take it upon ourselves and really doubt whether God will deliver us. And so we take it upon ourselves to do everything in our power to deal with the situation ourselves. And so while we're in that space, we're determined, we're controlled by stress, worry. And yet Jesus in the Scriptures, he tells us that worry cannot really add anything to our lives. Our fears, the most things that we fear in our lives, really if we fear and we're controlled by that fear, really, we're not adding anything to our lives. Yet Jesus says that you should cast your burdens and fears onto me, right? I will care for you. Just as how he cares for the lilies in the field, he will also care for us. We may have worries. As much as we perhaps love our children, we may have worries as to what direction they're going to. We may be preoccupied, stressed. And I can think about my mother, like she stresses a lot about me, right? She wants what's best for me, right? And yet she worries because she wants what's best for her, our children. And perhaps some of us, we want what's best for our children as well. And yet when we look at their direction, we sort of like wonder and worry as to where that will lead. But Jesus says, no, cast your burdens unto me. I will take care of you. He may not show up in time, but he is always on time. Right? Right? And so, we're going to look at the devotion response. But before we look at that, just I want to share what happened to Thomas. I mean, Thomas is the man whom we know as a skeptic. But it's interesting how even though we express doubt in the presence of God, to God, God still engages with us. Faith has room for us to express our doubts and our skepticism. And God engages with us. Just like how Jesus created space to really engage with Thomas. Thomas was pessimistic, skeptic, and yet, post-resurrection, he really showed Thomas that he is the Messiah, he is the Son of God. And Thomas was transformed by that experience, and tradition tells us how he went as far as India to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. And there are three different parts of India where he went, the north, east, and then he went to the eastern part of India, and also the southwest, where he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in those regions, there were different kingdoms, and so he would go from one kingdom to preach to the king, and also the people as well, they would come to Christ, And then he landed in one kingdom where he converted the queen of that kingdom, and the king was really jealous of that and ended up killing Thomas by the sword. He ordered somebody to kill him by the sword. But when we look at Thomas's life, we see how he represents, encapsulates the life that we experience, the Christian life that we experience. There are moments when we have doubts, we express this, we wrestle with God, and yet then moments after we experience a profound touch from God, and we're really touched by God and convinced that no, He is the Messiah, that He will take care of us. And so when we look at the devotions, let us share with somebody beside us about what you doubt concerning the Lord's work in your life and family. And also the second question, what recent trouble has God delivered you from? And then also describe a situation in which you want to see God bring a dramatic change for good in your life. So you can partner up with somebody beside you and really go through those three questions. And then after we discuss that, I'll close with a word of prayer.
I'm praying for Fiona, and she has been able to do the churches. That's why, you know, the Holy Spirit.